Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am truly honored to have a true journalist, a fearless warrior who has taken down so many people over so many years and continues to fight for truth and justice and freedom for all of us. I am honored to have here Benjamin Fulford. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I wanted to first start because last week I saw the KKR Henry Kravis, a big New York City figure for many, many years, stepped down with his cohort CEO at KKR. And I didn't know till this morning that you had something to do with that. I knew that it was about COVID, but I didn't know you were actually the catalyst to call them out. Can you tell my audience a little bit about your journey with the Japanese government as COVID has progressed?
Okay, well, what happened was that I was given information that all the positive test results for so-called COVID were coming from companies that were owned by KKR, and that all the COVID patients were in hospitals owned by KKR. And so I went to the, you know, I asked the military, you know, to do something. And they said that according to the treaty with Japan, you know, the local police were responsible. So the KKR's Japan offices are located on the 11th floor of the Meiji Yasuda Life Building in, you know, downtown Tokyo. Right. So the Maru no Uchi Police Department was responsible. So I went there and I provided them with evidence showing that, you know, it was all KKR hospitals. And also I showed them a patent for a test to detect COVID-19 that was made by a certain Robert Rothschild in 2016, you know, 3 years before this whole thing supposedly started.
Right.
I had it printed out on paper because, you know, digitally what they'll do is they'll go back and they'll change the dates and they'll do stuff, but paper can't do that. Right. And that started a forensic investigation, which led to the ultimately a complete change of government in Japan, and suddenly magically just COVID completely vanished in this country.
Right.
And it's a blueprint that's being followed by other countries now. They're locating now the actual source of the problem. And it goes back to the Rothschild family, the World Economic Forum. And then if you look at these companies of Pfizer, Moderna, they're all ultimately owned by, you know, Rockefellers and Rothschilds and stuff. And I actually named people. I don't just say, you know, anonymous, whatever. I actually point specific names and people.
Right.
Now, this was the other thing that, you know, that's related is that there was a Swiss study and they showed that 90% of the world's transnational companies are run by 700 people. In other words, you have one guy who's on the board of a whole bunch of different big corporations. And if you just look at the names, you'll find that there's 700 people. And then above those 700 people, you have what I call the Octagon Group. So we forensically identified these people. They're hiding in Switzerland. Right. So it's not abstract. But this was a, you know, I try to do something real. I'm a journalist. If something appears on the internet, it means somebody beat me to the story. So I go to the real world and find stuff. And this, in this case, you know, as a citizen, I took action and apparently somebody listened.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I wanted. That's the thing you did. And you have been this whole time. You also took action against the forced mask mandates in your country, too. And I don't see that many people doing it. It is starting. I saw in Spain, they had to say that the COVID, you said from the very beginning, it was never isolated. Now people all over are starting to have to admit it through discovery too. In America, unfortunately, people are still very much following orders and not clear on who the enemy is. I keep saying to people, stop concentrating on what's going on in the streets, the color revolution, Trump. The enemy is bigger than us. They want America to cease to exist. Can you talk a little bit about where we are right now? Your report today, I don't know if anyone doesn't subscribe to BenjaminFulford.net, they must, because you have been right almost about everything for the last 2 years where so many journalists have gotten it wrong. Where do you see us right now? Because I feel America is in big trouble.
You know, what you're seeing is similar to the Soviet Union just before it collapsed and after it collapsed. There's going to be hardship because, and when the Soviet Union collapsed, you had these old people selling their antiques in the street just to buy food and stuff, because you have a systemic breakdown and then and the replacement has not been put in place. Later, though, when they got the Russian Federation, and you know, this the so-called Vladimir Putin, who's just an avatar, literally Russian living standards doubled within a year. Right. When they took, basically what they did was they stopped the looting of the country's resources by a bunch of oligarchs.
Right.
And you know, this is the sort of thing that's going to happen in the United States. We're going to see increasing hardship and shortages, because what's happening is the elites who own the United States of America corporation.
Right.
And for those of you who don't know, the Republic of the United States went bankrupt in 1871 and was replaced with a corporation headquartered in Washington, D.C., which is technically not part of the United States. And that is what's going bankrupt. But these people are trying to stay afloat. And what they're doing now is they're jacking up prices to sort of squeeze money out of the masses.
Right.
Another thing I noticed, I didn't mention in my report, I probably should have, is I noticed that the Walmart set up a whole bunch of ATMs where you can buy Bitcoin. But here's the point, you can't sell Bitcoin. So they're trying to suck real money out of the people to keep themselves going. You know, they're doing all these scams and schemes, you know, to stay afloat. So the Americans are headed for turbulence until this is over, and I don't know how long it's going to take. You know, this is a war situation, and right. We have an enemy, you know. So it's like in World War II, they're saying, oh, we'll be in Berlin by Christmas, and then there was the Battle of the Bulge, and it took until next May, you know. Right. So I don't want to give dates, but clearly there's a lot happening.
Yeah. You talk a lot about, and I talk a lot about my feelings about the UN. That really, it was a Rockefeller, Kissinger, and some very nefarious people in my country that took all the Nazis here. And I look at the UN as the Fourth Reich. But you've talked a lot about the UN and their connection with the CCP basically infiltrated the UN. So they're at the very top with all the original suspects from the Rockefeller clan. But the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, IMF, I feel like through journalists like you and a few other brave ones, people are starting to see the UN for what it really is. And my hope is that when law and order is restored in America, we pull out of the UN. I think every country should pull out of the UN. It should be dismantled. I see NATO as their military, only loyal to their one world government. But you have a lot of ideas. And the one thing about you as a journalist, I see this about Julian Assange too, which I'll ask you about, is you're actually trying to help people, give them truth and facts so that they can empower themselves. So when you look at the UN, because now we have this big climate change nonsense, which is just another tool for them to get us into debt slavery for another 100 years, which people don't realize. What do you see with the UN? I feel like they're the source of all evil.
Well, let's start with some forensic journalism. Right. In 2009, I believe in June, there was something called the Chiasso incident, where two gentlemen, Mr. Yamaguchi and Mr. Watanabe, were detained at the Swiss-Italian border with $134 billion worth of bonds. The bonds were taken away by the CIA, and then they were given to a Italian banker by the name of Daniel Dal Bosco, who tried to cash these bonds. And he went to the Senate Finance Committee, and they said no. And then he went to the Chinese Communist Party, and they said no. And finally, Ban Ki-moon, the head of the UN, you know, said, look, we'll give you $100 million just to go away, you know. And so that's where we found it, you know, it traced, you know, so to the UN and to Switzerland. So this is a forensic, you know, investigation that and the trail does lead to Switzerland. So when you said the Chinese Communist Party is at the top, no, they're below the people in Switzerland. So it's that's where it always the actual trail leads. Now, the UN calls itself a world organization, but let's face it, the five permanent members of the Security Council are the United States, the UK, France, Russia, and China. So four of these five are Western countries. So it's not a world thing. It's a tool for Western domination of international bodies with China as a junior partner. How it now exists. And if you look, I think Dun & Bradstreet, you can see it's registered as a privately owned corporation. And so what we're dealing with, you see, the structures built after World War II. We're talking about the IMF, the BIS, the World Bank, all these things. And they trace to these families. And I followed the forensic trail. And you can go back as far as you want. But ultimately, what happened was, we'll just dial back to the end of World War I and the Treaty of Versailles. The Germans were forced to pay a whole bunch of gold, because they lost. And they didn't have the gold. So they went to Indonesia and they borrowed gold from Asian royals. Most of the world's gold has ended up in Asia because since Roman times, the Asians have been sending spice, ceramics, silk, and getting gold and silver. Anyway, that money was used to set up the BIS. And they were promised that they would be a world parliament with the royals in the background and a world government, but that they needed a world war to make it happen. But what happened was they did have their world war, but then the Western powers who took this gold broke their promise and didn't, when they had their Marshall Plan, they only did it for the countries they controlled, the G7. They didn't, do it for the rest of the world. And so they were cut off their gold. And anyway, that's one why you had the Nixon shock in the early 70s and why things are falling apart now. They don't have any backing for their currency. Right. And they're trying to get it and they're not able to. So they're bankrupt. It's been a long, slow process. But they're bankrupt.
Right. And
So these families, they are not, it's not the world. It's a bunch of European royals and Western oligarchs. I call them the Khazarian Mafia because they're all members of the same ethnic group. They're not actually Jewish. They worship Satan, but they pretend to be Jews and they pretend to be Christians. They pretend to be Muslims, but they're not. I want to make that clear. These people are not Jewish, although a lot of people call them that.
Yeah, I know. I see it a lot too. I've followed you for a long time and I get a lot of that as well. In America, if you put down George Soros, they could say that you're being anti-Semitic. And I'm saying, no, he's the devil. He worships Satan.
He said on TV that one of the best times of his life was when he was confiscating property from the Jews for the Nazis in World War II. He said it on TV.
I know. You can't make it up. But so now we're in a place. You reported a little bit today on what you see happening at our southern border. I see what's happening at the southern border as the biggest in-your-face human and child trafficking ring ever publicized. At the same time, the drugs and everything. Who is controlling our southern border?
Well, right now it's sort of out of control as far as I can tell, but basically it's the drug mafia. And that's always been traced to the Bush branch of the CIA. Right. The CIA was created by a combination of the German secret police, the Gestapo, and the American OSS. And it's the Gestapo side that has been, traced to running the cocaine and drug business. And so I'm assuming that they're the people ultimately behind this.
Right. Yeah. I had seen a lot of connections, not just with Bush and Bush Senior and Junior, but also with Bill Clinton and El Chapo and all these people. It's just been a disaster. But we are seeing a lot of children coming into America with no track and trace. The guy that was in ICE underneath Trump told me with tears in his eyes that when they're bringing these kids through the border, they lose them into the interior. They don't even know where they're going or who's taking them. And on that note, today, a lot of people are talking about Alec Baldwin shooting the cinematographer, which being on multiple movie sets, I find very bizarre alone, just that fact. But
one thing though, just before, I can't remember his name, but another thing I didn't put in my newsletter because it came up too late, but they had the biggest bust of a drug lord ever since, Escobar last week, and apparently that's a big attack against the people who are infiltrating the southern border. So there was a great victory, and that needs to be mentioned. Okay, now let's get back to
So Alec now Baldwin. We have this Alec Baldwin situation. I was just curious on your take, because not only, I mean, most people don't even know that he has a connection to Jeffrey Epstein and the entire cabal and all of that, but you, do you have any thoughts on what that situation is?
Well, it's clearly something very strange about the story. First of all, you know, anybody in the business knows that you don't put real guns on movie sets. So they're calling it a prop gun to try to, you know, make it seem less of a crime. But the lady who, you know, Alec Baldwin was in the movie The Hunt for Red October. And that was based on a submarine that came out of Murmansk. And the lady shot was a Ukrainian who came from the submarine base in Murmansk. And she was apparently a spy. And her husband was a lawyer for the Clintons and for Epstein and all right. those people. So, and the shooting took place 30 miles from the Epstein ranch where a lot of this weird stuff was going on. So, right. you know, I'm taking it as some kind of message, some kind of secret sign. I mean, I, you know, I don't, you know, it's,
I mean, I just, you have an interesting take on stuff. Nobody knows right now, but there's a lot of coincidences in this situation. Also, this woman, I was told, because I was in Hollywood for a long time, that this woman had a tight bond with Asia Argento, and she has talked about all kinds of satanic stuff. So I don't know what's going on, but we do have the upcoming Ghislaine Maxwell trial. And a lot of people don't realize really what that is about. In your take, what do you see happening with that story and that situation?
You know, I think it is a takedown of the Satanists that was announced, but, you know, we got to wait and see because right. we've been promised this for so long. But, you know, they had the White House read in 2018, and there was talk on QAnon about Red October. And now we have this guy who was in the movie Red October shooting a Satanist in October, you know, so it's, you know, we got to be careful. You got to actually see what happens. Yeah, but clearly the story is not as we're being told, and that we'll find out more as time goes on.
Right. Yeah. Now you're a journalist for anyone that doesn't know, for like 20 years, you also were an editor for Forbes, but you've never been scared to report on anything that you found to be factual that you thought would help humanity wake up from this slavery we've basically been under. And you are to me on the same level in my mind, hero wise as Julian Assange. I wanted to know your take being of similar journalist integrity and on a mission for real. What your take is on what is going on with Julian Assange and how is this happening?
My understanding is Julian Assange was killed. Remember, he was hiding at the Ecuadorian embassy in England, in London, and he used to appear every day on his balcony. And then I forget, some movie star visited him.
Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson. And then he apparently was poisoned. And I had people and friends in England, to ask them to try to go to the actual court cases to see. And there's no, as far as I can tell, he's never shown up. He doesn't exist anymore. So it's now, Julian Assange is now some kind of agency psyops, and any appearance you'll have will be computer graphics, or maybe it'll find a lookalike. But unfortunately, the real man is no longer with us, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, that would make the most sense, because why would this drag on so long? And then every time that they need a distraction, I feel like they pop back out the Julian Assange story. And
or something, the U.S. has a record trade deficit, so suddenly they have a story about Britney Spears showing her tits.
Right, exactly. I'm waiting for the big implosion of Britney Spears coming soon. Coming soon. I keep saying to everyone, this is not going to end well for her. But now I wanted to get on to, you have solutions. And a lot of people aren't putting solutions out there. And I want to see the UN dismantled, but we need an international group, a benevolent group for humanity and the planet to get along. You actually have a really good plan that I've read. Yeah, you put it out a couple times, but I wanted you to explain to the audience what a better model would be for international relations, because I think you have a great one.
Well, first of all, let me explain that I came to Japan originally because they had decades of double-digit economic growth. They had the highest standard of living on Earth, and they had the lowest gap between the rich and poor in any developed country. So I wanted to study what this model was. And it turns out it was a model that was pioneered by Nazi Germany. Now, let's leave aside the Holocaust and the medical right. experiments. When the Nazis took power, suddenly everybody could own a Volkswagen. They had these beautiful highways built. People got paid holidays. They got health insurance. And they had wonderful economic planning that caused living standards to rise dramatically, which was why Hitler was so popular. They then, unfortunately, turned it into a giant war machine and all that. But the economic model was copied by the Japanese before the war, and then they kept using it after the war. And the model is a kind of a hybrid between central planning and capitalism. What you have is a future planning agency or an economic planning agency that comes up with they talk to people, politicians, businessmen, and they say, where do we want to be 5 years from now? And they say, okay, everybody wants to have a swimming pool and a big TV or whatever, you know. And they say, okay, how are we going to make that happen? And they come up with a plan, but then the actual work is done by the private sector. It's put out to competitive bidding. And so the actual nitty gritty, you know, because central planning can't, you know, plan how many bars of soap and how many, you know, toothbrushes are going to be made. It's got to be left. Anyway, so I watched this model be dismantled in Japan. They killed a bunch of prime ministers. They killed a bunch of businessmen, et cetera. And then suddenly the planning system was replaced by a bunch of oligarchs who weren't Japanese. And then Japan, you know, fell into a morass. But so I was originally trying to promote this model. And for the West, because China is using it. And that's why they have consistently outgrown us. And unless we improve our system of economic management, we're all going to end up being Chinese slaves, because they're just going to be so much more economically dominant. And you know, at the end of the day, the money talks, you know?
Right.
So that's the one thing. I'm trying to set up a sort of a world future planning agency or organization that would take over the functioning parts of the IMF, the World Bank, the BIS, all that. It would be transparently run. It would be anybody could apply to join. And it would use the best of these models to kind of find a way forward for the planet. So that's the sort of the big picture. And so it's a kind of meritocracy. Right. Meritocracy, the Pentagon's a meritocracy, the Vatican's a meritocracy, corporations are meritocracies, and they can function together with real-time democracy, which is what we have now with the internet, or we should have.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, of course, so what about the UN? Well, we do need some kind of world structure. And I came up with the idea of a group of seven to overlook things that affect the whole planet, not, you know, individual countries who continue independent as now, but things that are too big for one country, like the oceans, the atmosphere, right. They would deal with that. And if you look at the historical geographical groupings, it makes most sense to have. So the seven areas, one would be North and South America. One would be Europe, including Russia. Another would be East Asia, excluding China. And then China, India, and the Muslim world, which is, you know, centered around the Middle East. And the idea would be have the group of seven is good, because the U.S. military did experiments with different groups, and they found that a group of around 6-7, maximum 9 people is most effective. It's like a small hunter-gatherer tribe.
Right.
If it's too big, like a G20, decisions don't get made. It's too much talk, and if it's too small, it becomes dictatorial. And the idea was, you know, majority vote would decide things, and the veto would only apply to your country. So, for example, if they decide to ban pork, the Chinese would say, no, we're going to keep eating pork. Sorry, you know, we can't live without it.
Right.
And stuff like that. Right. And that plan apparently has a lot of high level support among, the Asian royal families and some of the European royal families who are not satanic, and other high level people. and it's being fought, of course, by the people who own the current UN, World Bank, BIS system, which are the, you know, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and some of the royals. Like for example, the Chiasso incident in Italy, I mentioned earlier.
Right.
The forensic trail led there to Vittorio Emanuele. He would be the emperor of Italy if they still had an emperor or king, whatever it is.
Right.
And another one led to Carl von Habsburg. Who would have been the head of the, you know, the Habsburg dynasty.
Family,
and when they had the first World Economic Forum meeting, Otto von Habsburg introduced Klaus Schwab as his front man. And Klaus Schwab is actually a Rothschild. Right. His mother was a Rothschild. And Otto von Habsburg's dead, so his son is Karl. So we've actually forensically identified some of these people.
Right.
I've heard that the Dutch royals have actually been executed.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
A lot of the royals were replaced. And so apparently there is a more benevolent group of royals, you know, supposedly, who are ready to, you know, carry out these changes in harmony with the East. So, you know, some kind of East-West 50-50 agreement has been agreed to in principle, but again, the people who control the current system, they're not going to go quietly into the night. So we have a war on our hands, and that's what's going on now. It's not a conventional war, but it involves money, assassinations, propaganda, you know, and some exotic weapons like the electromagnetic weapons attacking the island of La Palma.
Right. Well, can you talk about that a little? Because a lot of people have talked about it. You mentioned in your, you know, they restarted HAARP. It's not a surprise. We've had this chaos all over the world that's seemingly in the earthquakes you talk about too. But a lot of people were scared about the tsunami possibility from the La Palma situation. But you said that that's been stabilized, or you think it has?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what else the latest intelligence. Well, okay, let's get some background on La Palma. La Palma is an island in the Canarian archipelago, which is sort of off the coast of Africa and Europe. And it has a big crack running halfway through the island, and the ocean's very deep on the other side. And scientists say that, you know, within 1,000 years or so, this is going to break and fall into the ocean. And there's so much dirt there that it's going to cause a tsunami 100 meters or 100 yards roughly high that would hit the east coast of the U.S. and southern Europe, Africa, and South America. And what's been happening is that the volcano right where the crack is has been suddenly very, very active. And so you have this crack and right. You have weight piling on top of it. And so it's getting more and more heavy, ready to fall.
Right.
And then boom, you know.
But
I thought at first this would be the Chinese behind it, but the actual, according to British intelligence, the actual attack is coming from Norway. And for people who don't understand HAARP, it's basically, it's like a microwave, only much bigger. So if you zap a microwave into a volcano, it's going to get hotter and hotter and you know, erupt. That's if you want to try an experiment, although you got to be ready to clean, is to take an egg and put it in your microwave and see what happens, you know. apparently, though, the latest is that some kind of countermeasures are being taken and that the situation has stabilized. So at this point, I don't think there's going to be a tsunami.
Right.
Nonetheless, people should make a plan if they're on the coast, the east coast. Basically, you got to go up, not away, but up. Find somewhere high enough that it's above 100 meters and you should be okay. You just in case, have a plan. Where are you going to go? You know.
Right.
For example,
yeah, there's been so much. You talk about all these earthquakes. I was in Bakersfield, California, 2 years ago. I had been through many earthquakes. I know what I was experiencing in Bakersfield, California was absolutely not an earthquake, and that there have been a ton of earthquakes. And we both have heard that it's that they're blowing up bases underground. A lot of people think that that's not true, that there's not bases, but we know that that's true. Especially, you talk a lot about Switzerland and Lake Geneva and what's going on over there. Now, all these people that are, I believe they're already caught. Certainly, I've been watching the Rothschilds liquidate their assets for 3 years in the, if you're paying attention, it'll be like the Rothschild auction and you'll be like, what, you know, or they're closing this or that. So clearly they've been being taken down. But as for the Bank of International Settlements and the Octagon Group, as you call them, yeah, I do believe that that is, that's the root of all evil. Where are they now? Do you see Klaus Schwab and these people being held accountable, or?
I understand that Klaus Schwab is either dead or he's a hunted man and hiding in a deep hole somewhere.
I'll tell you, their next plan, you know, these Luciferian Satanists, they like to tell you what they're going to do. And his next book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, is incredibly scary. They're obsessed with transhumanism. I don't think people understand what they're saying there. They're basically saying they're going to replace like the human, half robot, but also like a complete AI oversight of the entire planet controlled by them. What is that transhumanism, fourth industrial revolution everyone's been talking about and that they've been saying is their master plan?
These people want to become sort of like immortal gods, and they want the majority of us to be their eternal servants. So they're trying to find ways to become immortal, either by downloading themselves onto a computer, or, you know, replacing their body with, you know, mechanical things that they don't want to die. They're afraid of dying. There's plenty of evidence that they can use vaccines to now completely change human DNA. So, for example, what CRISPR technology uses a kind of virus DNA that can make pinpoint changes to human DNA. So I was shown by the Russians the details of an experiment on rats where they injected them with a CRISPR vaccine that caused a change in their brains to increase the amount of the dopamine, the pleasure particle. And the experiment was supposedly done to help treat addiction, but what it resulted in was rats that were happy no matter what, you know, so like, oh,
no matter, even if they were tortured, they were happy.
You just killed my family. Oh, how wonderful, you know. And the idea is that if they vaccinate the sheeple with stuff like that, they will be permanently obedient. Now, the other thing, there was a 2014 paper. Sorry, that's the garbage people taking away bottles. Okay. There was a 2014 paper published by the Rockefeller University, they injected graphene particles into mice, and basically they created mice that they can control with, electromagnetic radiation. So like you can use a phone to control them or something.
Right.
And so they demonstrated with mice that this was possible. And they, in fact, in Japan, they found this stuff in 3.6 million doses of vaccine. Right. So they were actually caught trying to do it to people. So they're the other thing that they've found is that a lot of people who have been vaccinated, they show up on Bluetooth with their Mark of the Beast ID number shows up on Bluetooth. So clearly this has been a final desperate attempt by them to enslave humanity by, you know, vaccinating them into becoming sheep forever. Right. While they themselves are trying to alter become Superman. You know, these were Nietzsche, the Nazis, they talk, they want to become like gods, and then they want us to be their eternal slaves. That's their plan.
Right. Remember when Mark Zuckerberg said, I used to be human in some interview? And I was like, what? Or yeah. Elon Musk wants to do the Neuralink and, all that stuff. It's really creepy. And then if you know about what Epstein was financing with that Lieber and everyone, it was about like eternal life, just never like living forever and crazy stuff, which will come around.
Let me say something about Epstein though. He's not dead. And
I know.
The reason he's not dead is because he was actually an agent for the good guys. So he wormed his way into these groups by providing them with 15-year-old girls, but he was a sleeper agent. And that's why they didn't kill him. They faked his death because he provided so much dirt on these elites that's led to a lot of actionable intelligence and a lot of removal of these people. So, you know, he was actually one of the good guys, according to my own personal Mossad and CIA sources.
Yeah, I had a Navy intelligence guy that I know knows what he's talking about. And he said Epstein's not dead. And that they have 10,000 hours of blackmail of all these elites and celebrities and stuff provided from him. So that's why I'd like to see what's upcoming in that case. And I'm sure a lot of people are out there because apparently
Hollywood connections, right? I mean, I noticed the last Oscar party that nobody was there who was famous. I mean,
nobody, not one. Yeah.
Have they been removed?
I'm assuming, but then you know, then they'll come out and they'll be like Adele, who lost 900 pounds in the last year, somehow had a big event with Oprah and Ellen, and it's like the whole list of the cabal of the. And I'm thinking, what are they at this point? What are they doing? How are they pulling this off? I have no idea.
Well, you know, these deep fakes and stuff, they can create anybody with CG on a computer screen. Yeah. Now, I create a network of people I've actually met in person or someone they've met in person so that we have a sort of human intelligence to kind of get around this digital disinformation to try to keep track of what's going on. But that's why I would love to have somebody who's actually in Hollywood who can actually go to these parties and physically see, you know, who's there or who's not there. But
I've been removed. My friends in Hollywood that are left there, which there's not many, say that it's a ghost town. A, B, I believe that the Chinese Communist Party pulled out all their money because those dummies in Hollywood for the last 15 years have allowed the Chinese Communist Party to infiltrate all of the agencies, all of the studios. And I mean, even what's his name, Barry Diller at their Idaho getaway that they all went to and discussed the next plans for big tech and media. Barry Diller said Hollywood's done, that there's no going back. The whole studio system is imploded and that they're broke, basically, Hollywood too. So, you know, it looks like on all angles. One last thing before you go, I want to ask you about, I was at this Health and Freedom conference in Nashville this weekend with a lot of very brave scientists and doctors. Most of them are like the ones that they call the major disinformation agents of COVID, but they're the opposite, like RFK Jr. and Dr. Tenpenny, a lot of people like that. And you talked about in the very, very beginning, 5G's connection to COVID and the vaccine and stuff. Well, I met two guys world renowned that were there to speak. This one guy swears that the 5G is connected somehow to this. And I remember you had written about, he said what you said a long time ago, where it was like the hot spots where they were testing 5G was really where people were dropping dead. Do you have any update on that? Because you really were the first person I heard say it, and now I'm hearing it more and more.
Okay, well, here's what happened. An executive from a major manufacturer of mobiles came to me and met me physically in person and told me that 5G was very dangerous. It's sort of like if you have your microwave on defrost, it's like 200 watts. Well, 5G is like 30 watts, but it's 24 hours a day. And what happened was when this so-called pandemic broke out, the city of Wuhan, China had installed 10,000 5G towers. They have to be every 100 meters, you know, so don't worry about those giant cell towers. Those aren't the ones you're worried about. If 5G, they need something every 100 meters. And they set it up, and they fired it up, and they hooked it with satellites, and people started dropping like flies. I talked to someone, CIA East Asia, they sent some Thai people into Wuhan, and they figure maybe more than 1 million people died. But if it was a pandemic, okay, like they're saying, then you would expect the suburbs and the nearby towns to get people sick. But no, it was only the area where they had the 5G. And the initial outbreak was exactly where they had 5G.
Right.
And in Japan, what happened was I read in the newspapers they were going to start 5G nationwide tomorrow. And I said, oh, my God. I called up the head of security at the Abe administration and said, look, this is dangerous. And what they did was they decided to do an experiment. So they took this cruiser ship, the Diamond Princess. They put 5,000 people aboard. They fired up the 5G and they started dropping off like flies. And that's why 5G was canceled worldwide. They alerted people. They said it was dangerous. So Now, the mechanism whereby 5G can cause symptoms like a lung disease was described in the, if you look at the Nobel Organization's website for the 2013 Nobel Prize for Medicine, they describe how the electromagnetic radiation can create symptoms that look like a lung disease. So when people have been dying, they've been, you know, they give them a false positive test, you know, with this fake PCR, and then they take them to a hospital, and then they hit them with the radiation, and they murder them.
Right.
So they have been doing that, but yeah, this is a war crimes on a scale bigger than we've seen in World War II, and the punishment will be on a scale bigger than we saw after World War II. These people are going down, I guarantee you.
That's the most important thing to me. And last thing I just remembered, because I last week I saw that the JFK files were supposed to be released. Trump had them to be released the 10/25/21, oddly enough. And we just saw the Biden administration block them for reasons of national security.
Okay. I know
what make of that.
Look, David Ben-Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, ordered the JFK assassination, and he did so on the orders of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, because JFK made a deal with the Asian elders to, you know, start a financial system that they did not control. Okay, and that's what's in those JFK papers. So, all right, the Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, working for his Rothschild Rockefeller masters, ordered the assassination of Kennedy. That's all. I know this. It was told me by the Pentagon. This has been released, but the people are pretending it didn't happen. But that's
so it had nothing to do with George H.W. Bush.
Well, he was one of the
organizers at the CIA, right?
Yeah, he was one of the henchmen who carried it out. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, you know what? I know that it's true. I would have just liked if it was released, because it would have started people that are sleeping and refuse to, you know, it's that old thing. It's easier to con people than convince them they've been conned, with, especially with the COVID. But at least with that, they'd be like, our own government was involved. Well,
but it was released under the Trump administration. I remember talking
Nobody reported it. But you.
I know. I talked to these brainwashed journalists, you know, and I said, hey, they're all talking. Oh, they're going to release it. I wonder what's in it. And then it was released, and suddenly they all shut off. It's like, oh, you know, we're not allowed to talk about it.
And so, that's why I have to say, again, if anyone's not following BenjaminFulford.net, I have been following religiously, and every Monday he drops the bombs that'll tell you everything you need to know for the week, and they always end up being spot on. And I'm so grateful that you're here. We met through Robert David Steele. I have no idea what happened in that situation. I saw what you think. I have my own thoughts, but God bless him, and may he rest in peace wherever he is.
Let me say one thing about Robert Steele. I was told he was in a hospital in Florida. He was in danger. I warned MI6. My understanding is that he was taken out, and they faked his death, but I'd like to confirm that, you know, if somebody knows him, can go and see if there's an actual gravestone or something. But
I know him, and I was shocked that there was no funeral. I've been saying the whole time, how come there was no funeral? I know enough people that know him in real life. I did. So,
all right. Well, so I think he's probably okay.
I hope so. He's quite a character. And he hooked me up with you, and I was really grateful. So thank you so much, Ben. I hope you come back. I'll put your links below, and keep up the good work. You're one of the few remaining journalists out there that are actually journalists still. So I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. You have a nice day. Bye.
You too.